This is your host, Grant Vermeer, Naval Academy Class of 2017, and I'm your Academy Insider. It's my goal to be your guide through the Naval Academy experience by sharing my stories and providing you inside information into the life of a midshipman. Academy Insider is in no way officially affiliated with the United States Naval Academy. All of the content on Academy Insider is my own and does not reflect the views of the United States Naval Academy, the United States Navy, nor the Department of Defense. Welcome to the Academy Insider podcast, and thanks so much for joining me as we continue our talks about the Plebe Summer Experience. Today, we're being joined by Sarita Condi, a fellow Class of 17 graduate and a 1,000-point scorer, which probably makes her one of the best Navy basketball players to ever go through the Naval Academy. Just like the past couple episodes, we're going to talk about Sarita's Plebe Summer Experience, but also her time as the Plebe Summer Honor and Character Liaison Officer. Now, I know we've kind of talked about some things, and for everyone knows me, I didn't really enjoy Plebe Summer all that much, but Sarita has a little bit of a different opinion, so I think you guys will really enjoy it. Sarita's been out to sea now for a little while as a surface warfare officer, and she was literally kind enough to take time during one of her port visits in Hawaii to literally jump into a Taco Bell where there was Wi-Fi so that way she could talk with us all and share some valuable information about her experience. It's going to be a great discussion, so don't miss it. All right. Hey, thanks, Sarita, for coming on and being a part of the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Definitely. All right. Before we get started, do you mind just telling all the listeners a little bit about yourself? So where you grew up, how you ended up at the academy, and just a little bit of background about yourself.
Okay. I grew up in Lovelock, Nevada, born and raised. I was recruited for women's basketball, and that's kind of what opened up the door for me to get to the Naval Academy. And I played all 4 years there. So I pretty much owe everything and how me getting into the academy and everything through the women's basketball team.
Absolutely. No, that's really cool. So just for everyone's knowledge then, did you have any military in your family? Are you the first one? And then like, how'd that work?
Yes, I have zero military experience throughout my family. I think like my great grandfather served and a few uncles that I don't really know. So this is, the entire process has been extremely eye-opening, both me and my family. And then the cool part is that my brother actually 2 days ago found out that he got an appointment to the academy. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Now going to be going to the United States Naval Academy, which is really cool.
And is he going to play a sport?
He's not. He's just going for school. Maybe we'll try to walk on somewhere, but he's more just focused on the academic side of things.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Good luck to him. And that's interesting. So did he growing up have an interest in the military, or is it when you went to the Naval Academy that he kind of realized that that was an option and a thing?
To be honest, I don't think either of us did. Like, even myself, if you would have asked me even my sophomore year of high school if I would go into the military, I think I would tell you absolutely not. But I think through him seeing my experiences and seeing how amazing the school itself is for so many different reasons, he got to see kind of like the athletic side and what I got to go through. But when he would visit, he saw that there were a lot of opportunities to volunteer, and the schooling itself is great, all of the things that you can do in the summer. And I think it was really eye-opening to him how much we all push each other. I think the connections that I made with people like you and friends was something that was really cool for him and something that he wanted to be a part of. And I think that was a big reason why he decided to apply for the academy.
Okay, absolutely. It's funny that you say that, because I was in the exact same boat as you, where like, I had no intention of joining the military either. Like, I just wanted to play basketball in college, and it kind of worked out that way. But once you did get recruited by the academy and you decided you were going to go there, how much like information did you actually learn about the academy prior to going to I-Day? Like, what did you actually know going into I-Day?
So I'm like the worst person to ask this, because I've been asked this before. I didn't look up hardly anything. We got that little package of a few things that you should memorize before you show up. Yep. I think it was like the chain of command and a couple other things. So I memorized those, but I'm the type of person where if I know too much, I'll just make myself anxious about it. So I went in pretty blind.
Okay.
So that part in and of itself was pretty interesting. But
definitely.
Yeah, so I didn't really know anything about it. I kind of just showed up and my hair was cut. And
there you go. So because you didn't really know what you're getting yourself into, what was your eye day like? Like, tell us a little bit about that first day where you showed up. You didn't really know much about it. And then just like, boom, hair shaved, people are yelling at you. What's going on? What was going through your mind?
The best way to explain it was it felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I wasn't really upset. I wasn't really scared. I was just like numb. Like, I was like, I don't know what this is. I remember being very confused.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like everything that I was doing was 2 seconds behind where it was supposed to be because I was trying to process everything around me.
Absolutely. That's funny you say that because whenever I describe my Bleep Summer 2, the word confusion comes up a lot because like at a certain point, you like you didn't even realize you were upset in the moment or like not happy. You were just like utterly confused about everything that's going on. Yes. You're like, I just have no idea what's going on. People are screaming. I don't know what I'm doing.
Even looking back on it now, I'm still confused.
Yeah, it's just mass chaos, especially on the first few days. So that's funny. Who actually came out with you on iDay? Did you have your whole family come out and then kind of tell us a little bit about that? And then what did you do in that like 30 minutes after the oath of office before you actually went in for that real official start of Bleep Summer?
So our basketball coach, Stephanie Pemper, actually does a barbecue the day before iDay.
Okay.
With all of the recruits and tries to invite as many of the players who are currently on the team there. So we're able to kind of talk about iDay. We get kind of prepped before that, but both of my parents came and my little brother came to drop me off. So the morning of, we were all on the bus and they dropped me off. And then after the oath of office, we met up with our parents and the parents of the other Cleve women's basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really remember what I did. I remember that we took a photo and then my mom just describes it as I was just like out of it. Like I wasn't really talking. I was kind of just like, all right, here I go. I wasn't upset. I know some people will cry and get really emotional, but I think I was just, like you said, so confused that I kind of was just there and I took a photo and then we walked back.
Yeah, that's so funny. I was the exact same way. Like my parents got me a bunch of food for that like time and I was like, I'm not hungry. And I just kind of sat there for a little bit and like people are like emotional. I'm just sitting there like, I don't know what's going to happen to me because this is the first few hours were already interesting.
Yeah, I think I might have even left early because I know you get like a full 30 minutes, but I was so just like ready to get started that I was like, okay, I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so what's funny about that is if there are any parents listening, that's a real thing, right? Like sometimes like don't be shocked or don't be worried if your kid's kind of just like out of it or just like numb to what's going on because it is an entire culture shock because you go into Bancroft Hall for a couple hours and you do get to experience it for a couple hours before you actually come out and have that last like 30 minutes together. So don't think like stuff is like majorly wrong if they come out and they're just not the same person. But that first day is just, it is a lot of confusion and just a major culture shock. So it is just something to expect. All right. Cool. Well, now let's kind of move on a little bit into Bleep Summer. We'll kind of start with some of the more positive things first here. So that being said, do you have like a favorite memory from Bleep Summer, whether it be funny or motivational, inspirational, like whatever it is, but do you have like a favorite memory from Bleep Summer?
So I am actually one of the weirdos and I really liked Bleep Summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that my idea sounds kind of crazy, but I really liked that everything was numbered. I really liked that we had something to look forward to in the Plea Parents Weekend, and that was something that kind of drove me every single day. It is a little tough sometimes because the people around you get pretty emotional and pretty homesick, but I treated it as a game, kind of. So everything that we were tasked with, I mean, I'm very competitive, so mm-hmm. I would just try to, like, win whatever was put in front of us, or if we had to memorize rates, I would just try to memorize it faster than, you know, the person next to me. And I actually got really lucky because my roommate, Logan Ballard, and I are very similar and we got really close and we're both very competitive. So we would kind of make our own competitions between us as we were getting tasked with things. I really liked the rope course.
Okay.
I think that was one of my favorite days because you're being active, but it's really fun. And you get to help people overcome their fear of heights if they have them. I don't know why that sticks out to me so much, yeah. But I thought that the high ropes course was really fun.
That's funny because that high ropes course scared the crud out of me. I hated every second of it. I was also the kid that you were describing, the super emotional homesick one that was making everyone else miserable. That was also me. So, but there is hope for all the recruited athletes out there. You don't really know what you're getting yourself into. It is very possible to actually enjoy it like Serena. It is possible. I personally didn't get that feeling, but you know, apparently it can happen. All right. So kind of along with that, now obviously you're telling us that you actually enjoyed it. But was there anything that you got in the mail, whether it be letters or care packages or anything that your parents sent you or family sent you that you appreciated during Pleep Summer? Like, what are some things that people can send that kind of add a spark or boost?
Okay, so mail time was my favorite time every day. That was actually something that I looked forward to from the second I woke up. So for anyone who's listening, sending mail, even the smallest like letter or card, or a photo of like you and your family like missing them at an event goes so far. I think I was pretty lucky. I got mail most of the time. But I remember there were nights when, because you wait for your name to be called, right? Like hoping that you have mail. And whenever I didn't get a piece of mail, it was crushing. Because for most people, I think I can talk to most people, that's like what we look forward to, is hearing from people that we love, hearing some sort of normalcy that's going on outside of the craziness of Pleep Summer, and knowing that the people that you love and care about are thinking of you and that they're still doing okay. Snacks, you can never go wrong with. I know that they kind of try to scare you off with sending candy and stuff, but even just like Clif bars or fruit snacks are very much appreciated because we burn a lot of calories and we're very hungry.
Absolutely.
At least I was.
All right. So that's really funny as you're talking about going back to the letters and like the mail time at Blue and Gold. So at the end of every night, there's a ceremony called Blue and Gold. And basically it's a time for literally during Pleep Summer, they'll do like feet checks to make sure that you're like you don't have any blisters. They'll kind of do any like little medical attention. But then at the end of the day, basically it gives the company commander a chance to address the entire company. So if you remember during Pleep Summer, there's like Alpha, Bravo, Charlie company all the way through. And those have two platoons in it. So you have about 80 plebes in one hallway with a bunch of detailers. And you have a company commander that has the ability to kind of address them. But also there, that's when they pass out the mail because the mail goes to the companies. And it's really funny because you're like you're saying, you're just standing on the bulkhead. You're kind of just standing there as they're calling out mail. And you're just like, fingers crossed, like really hoping they call your name. Because it's literally like everyone's standing there and they just scream out a name. And then when you hear your name, you like, we literally call it stick out a paw. You like just shoot your arm out there so the detailer can find you. And you're like, yeah, that's me. But you're like also not trying to smile and laugh because then they'll just yell at you anyway. But mail call, that's funny that you bring that up because that is like one of the like cool like 3 or 4 minutes of every day. You're just like, oh, man, yeah. I really hope I get something today.
And it's like taking it back to elementary school when you get a fresh box of crayons. And you're just like throwing it off to everyone because they'll wheel out the mail and they'll wheel out the packages. So everyone's just like hoping that the big package of snacks is yours. And then you hear someone get called and you're just like, dang, it wasn't me this time.
Oh, absolutely. And then you get like some people that get like a package and like 5 letters and they're constantly calling out and they'll be like standing next to a kid that like gets nothing. And it's kind of sad at the moment, but at the same time, like, you have detailers be like, oh, how come no one likes you, but everyone loves the guy? You know, like, there's that whole thing, and it always does make it pretty interesting. All right. So kind of with that, or moving on from that now, you said you liked it, but what was the most challenging aspect of Plebe Summer for you? Kind of what was the most difficult thing to get through?
I think the most challenging part was being proud of everything that you did in that day. But then when you go to sleep, knowing that you have to wake up and do it all again. Except for Sunday. Sunday mornings were nice.
Yes.
And then I think just maintaining your emotions, like what we mentioned earlier, you never have any privacy. I think that was really tough too. But you're in these really confined spaces with people, and we're all people. We all have emotions. And so kind of being there for each other and having no privacy to just decompress was probably the toughest part. So I think back to what I said originally, if you have like a goal and you have something to look forward to, like Plebe Parents Weekend or even just Sunday. I know a lot of people look forward to Sundays. I think that that really helped me to kind of just like keep my mind where it needed to be.
Absolutely.
And then on the athlete side, mm-hmm. I think it was tough for me that we didn't really get that much time to like play the sport that we were recruited there for.
Yep.
And I know that that doesn't really apply to everyone who's listening because not everyone is a recruited athlete, but I do think that that's something that brought a lot of us down because we were kind of, at least I was explained that when you go to plebe summer, you have time to like focus on your sport and to practice and to get better so that you're ready once the season starts. And that really wasn't the case for us. We would do a couple drills, but then we kind of just played pickup and you're already so exhausted from plebe summer that I kind of felt like I got worse over plebe summer going into my first season as a college athlete. So that part really bothered me, but I know that that doesn't really apply to everyone.
Absolutely. And that's funny you bring that up because we talked about that. We had Troy Thompson on earlier, actually, and he talked about the same thing and like how there's not a sports period for like 8 days, right? And so like you show up and you think you're going to go and there are people telling you, hey, there's going to be time dedicated to your sport. And you go the entire first week. And a week during plebe summer feels like a really long time. So like you go the entire week, right? It's a lot of days. You go that entire time without playing your sport. So that is definitely an interesting challenge. And for all the varsity athletes, and it's important that you do realize and embrace that and know going into it, like, hey, you're not going to be playing as much as you thought you were. And then during that time, like you're saying, you're so exhausted that when you have that hour and a half for sports period, it's tough. It's tough to do things because you are just mentally and physically exhausted. All right. Here's a question for you. You talked about kind of most challenging thing overall and then also being a varsity athlete. Did you feel that there were any unique challenges that you faced being a female midshipman or any kind of unique challenges that females may experience during plebe summer?
Nothing that majorly sticks out, but just being at the academy in general, there were a few times that we're still a minority, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that we still have a long ways to go, but there's just little moments that stick out in my mind. I remember walking to class one day, and there were like a group of tourists, and as I was walking by, someone pointed and said, "Look, a girl won." And so I think that kind of just highlighted that we do still have a long ways to go. Mm-hmm. And there are definitely various challenges that you face being a female at the academy in general. But I think that being a varsity athlete actually gave me a platform to be respected and to be treated, you know, equally. And I think that a lot of that has to do with just the classmates and the people that I was around and all of us knowing that we were all there for one goal. But I do think that being a female athlete kind of gives you a little bit more of a platform to be a voice for the other females at the academy.
Absolutely. Really cool. And for everyone listening, Sarita was unreal as a midshipman, like as a one, just as a midshipman, but two, as an athlete as well. I mean, probably one of the better basketball players in Navy basketball history, to be completely honest. But for everyone who's listening, like you should look up to Sarita. If you don't know Sarita, there's probably some, I guarantee there's some YouTube video out there or something, but I mean, that right there is a role model for anyone, I promise you. So that is really cool. I do appreciate you saying that. And I think it is great to become either part of a team or some kind of club or anything, just again, to give you exposure and a platform to kind of show how important of a piece a female midshipmen are to the brigade. So cool. So moving on a little bit. So we talked about in a previous episode about kind of the roles of all the different detailers during plebe summer. So I guess my question for you is, who made the biggest impact on you during your plebe summer? Who was the person that kind of really made an impact on you?
During plebe summer specifically?
During plebe summer specifically, but if you have someone else throughout the course of your time at the academy, feel free to talk about it.
So I think all of us looked at our detailers as these like god and goddesses. Because they were super fit and obviously knew everything that was going on and they're training you. So in general, I looked up to the detailers and, you know, little things like when we're doing runs, I would try to keep up with the detailers and stuff like that. But throughout my entire plebe year, I think the person who made the most impact on me was our team captain, Kara Pollinger, and she was actually a detailer too. So it kind of goes hand in hand. Just extremely smart, always very composed, and genuinely cared about everyone that she was around in our development. And I think that I just appreciated her and always tried to emulate her, even throughout my career. So, and it started at Bleak Summer because she was a detailer and she would reach out and make sure that I was doing okay and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So I think if people can find someone that they kind of can associate themselves with, I think that that will help you find a way to get through. I think the main thing at the academy that people struggle with, even if they don't admit it, is we all go through these phases where we feel like we don't belong there for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Whether you don't think you're smart enough or athletic enough, or you don't think the military's for you. And I think it's essential to find people who will drive you and to find people who have similar interests as you so that you can continue forward and realize that we all have a different piece to contribute.
That right there is, that sums up so much of everything. I really appreciate you saying that because that was me, right? Like that was when you're saying, like, I felt like I didn't belong because I wasn't sure if the military was for me. And I saw these people who loved it. And I saw the people who like really wanted to be in the military. But it wasn't until I found Kevin Alter, Pookie, as a role model where I'm like, this guy is awesome, right? And then when I had conversations with him, it came out that he felt the exact same way as me when he was in my spot, right? And so I was able to see like, oh, I can get to that point where I'm in such admiration of this person, and yet he was in the exact same spot as me. So what you said was so spot on, and I just encourage everyone to reach out and try and find mentors and role models who are upperclass midshipmen, because so many of them have been in the same spot as you, but you just don't realize it until you have those conversations with them. So that is really, really cool. All right. So kind of with that, kind of who had the biggest impact on you, but now do you have like a lesson, like a most important lesson or something that really stuck with you that you learned as a result of Plebe Summer? Like, was there something that you learned as through your experience during that summer?
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that I still carry with myself to this day. So when you're in Plebe Summer, you feel like every little thing that you do is the biggest deal. If you drop your pen, you get yelled at for it. And it's on your mind the rest of the day. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I dropped that pen. Or if you, you know, don't run your mile as fast as you did 2 days ago, it's like, oh my gosh, I dropped 10 seconds. They're going to be so mad at me. I'm going to get yelled at for this. I couldn't remember what the meal was today. I'm going to get yelled at. And it sticks in your head. And then when you're on the other side of it, like I was a detailer my senior year, and you realize that none of that really matters, like at all. It's all just a way to try to develop someone. And I carry that to this day, is you do want to do your best to be good at the little things, but don't make the little things drag you down and weigh on your mind when you're trying to continue to go forward. Sorry, I lost my train of thought because my friend Ben just locked up. Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, do your best to do all the little things right, but if you continually mess up and only focus on the things that you're doing wrong and the things that are going bad, then it's just going to spiral out of control. So just do your best and realize that people don't really care as much as you think that they do.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that.
No, totally makes sense. And when you were a detailer, was that a lesson that you tried to teach the plebs? And so you were in a really unique situation. So if you like, don't mind telling the listeners what your role was during Plebe Summer, because it's not like your average role. It's something completely separate. And then, so just talk a little bit about what your job was during Plebe Summer and then how you tried to instill certain lessons that you wanted to into the plebs.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I had the best job ever. I was the honor and character liaison. So I got to be nice to the plebs. So I was in charge of the development of our honor and character program that we had at the academy. And so I got to see all of them in a classroom setting without the rest of the detailers. So in addition to teaching the lessons and kind of teaching the traditions of the academy and how to compose yourself and to do the right thing, I also got to conversate with them and kind of see where they were all at. And so during those times, I would try to give little tidbits of like, you know, don't focus too much on this, stay positive. It's only 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that part was really cool. But I think it's, like you said, it was definitely a unique situation. And then but it also opened up the avenue for people to be able to talk to me either before or after class and just kind of give them a pep talk before they went back out and got yelled at.
Absolutely. And if you don't mind, do you mind talking a little bit about the honor character classes and kind of one, how often they are, and two, a little bit like what happens in those classes?
So in those classrooms, I think there are 8 lessons. I know that it's probably changed since then. Mm-hmm. So I will see everyone a total of 8 times. Some weeks you have it twice a week. Some weeks you have it once a week. And sometimes you don't have it that whole week. It just depends on the schedule. But in those lessons, we talk about various things like our honor code, the system that we have at the academy. We talk about the Battle of Gettysburg and how that can apply. I'm trying to think of other ones that we had. I know that there was one where we talked about just like current events and kind of just various things that were happening. Cause I think that was important. There's a lot of things that when you're at the academy, especially in plebe summer, you have no idea what's going on outside of the walls. So I know that we try to incorporate kind of current events that were going on and how it applies to us being midshipmen. I can't remember any of the other lessons.
That's perfect. I mean, that's really cool. Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. So that's definitely something. Those are generally like hour-long classes, so it's a nice little break during the day where you're like probably doing some gray space or whatnot, and then they line you up and you start marching outside and you realize you're walking towards the loose classrooms and you're like, oh, let's go. It's air-conditioned.
Honestly,
and they're going to be nice.
The hardest part was me like convincing everyone to stay awake. Like, to not fall asleep.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's exhausted and then they're finally in a relaxed setting. Like, it's pretty tough for sure. All right. Kind of a couple last questions here. So the first thing I want to ask is there anything that you wish someone would have told you prior to heading to the Naval Academy? Like, was there a little piece of information that may have helped you out, or is there anything that you wish you just would have known prior to heading?
Nothing like informational wise. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I just function better not knowing everything because I'll just worry about it too much. But if I were to give myself advice right now, like on the outside looking in, I would say just to not take everything too seriously.
Okay.
I think that got me caught up on a lot of stuff.
No, absolutely.
And just realizing that we're still like young adults. We're kids like figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And when you add pressure to yourself, that's not always necessarily a good thing.
Absolutely. All right. Do you have any specific advice potentially for recruited athletes for anything during the summer or even during their 4 years at the academy?
Just overall, my experience at the academy, I would say to keep an open mind. When you're recruited, I think we all have this like image of how we think our career is going to go in the college world, mm-hmm. on the collegiate level. And it doesn't always pan out how you want it to. And most of the time, whether it's you're not in the same position that you recruited for, you're not playing as much as you wanted to, or your grades are slipping, or you're not as fast as you once were, or you're not able to lift as much as you should, mm-hmm. or you can't find enough time to do everything over the summer that you're asked to, I would just say keep an open mind. The academy is a great place to have this happen because there are other avenues where you can still be heard and you can still work on yourself as a person and an athlete. So I would just say don't get discouraged. Understand that it happens in the college world everywhere, but I think it's enhanced at the academy because of all of the other demands. So yeah, just keep an open mind and don't get too discouraged when things don't necessarily go your way. And in the end, it always works out.
Absolutely. All right. And then last piece is, would you have any different advice or any unique advice specifically for female midshipmen getting ready to prepare for the academy?
I would just say to make an effort to lift each other up, especially in an environment like the academy where it is so male dominated and it is already so competitive. Just knowing that you have females around you who are there to actually help you and lift you up and help get you through the tough times goes so far. So yeah, I would just say that make an effort, not only just like, you know, stay out of it, or, but like actually make an effort to go out of your way to help each other. I think will go really far.
Absolutely. All right. Cool. Well, let's finish this thing off with a couple, we call it a lightning round of questions that I ask everyone. So just a couple quick responses here. They're not very difficult questions. But first thing is, what was your favorite spot on the yard?
Ooh, my favorite spot on the yard was the ice cold water fountain right outside of the Halsey weight room.
Right? That is the best.
So the best water. And it meant that you were done with your workouts for the week and you could go hang out with your friends.
Yeah. That's so funny. I never really think about that, but it's most definitely the best water fountain on the yard.
It really is.
All right, next question. What was your favorite meal in King Hall?
My favorite meal was the vegetable lasagna.
Really? That's a unique answer. Okay, I like it. A third, who was your biggest officer or senior enlisted leader mentor during your 4 years?
That is tough.
And if you have multiple, you can mention multiple.
I guess I would go with Lieutenant Arnold and Captain Smith.
Solid. All right. Next question. One, what's your favorite book? And two, what's one book you would recommend someone reads before heading to the academy? And they can be the same one, but I just kind of preface it two ways.
Okay. My favorite book is The Giver.
Who writes The Giver?
I don't remember.
No, that's fine.
I read it in like elementary school, but it was like the first book that I loved. Okay. So I should probably reread it. And a book that I recommend is probably not a very good answer, but you can take it out if you want. But it's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. Have you seen that?
I have seen it. Absolutely. Okay.
So I think it kind of goes along with what I was saying earlier about not being caught up with the little things,
mm-hmm.
but not a very great answer going into plebe summer, I don't think, but it's good for life.
No, absolutely. And like, obviously there are going to be times during plebe summer where the detailers make sure you know that you should give an F, but I've read it. It's a fantastic book. And two, like you're saying, it does provide that perspective of like, hey, don't worry about the little things. Just continue to focus on what's in your control. Again, which is the current moment, you control your attitude, you control your effort. So absolutely a great read and a great recommendation. All right. What is your greatest memory from your 4 years in Annapolis?
Ooh, that is a tough one because there were a lot of good memories. But the one that sticks out when I first think about it is my senior year beating Army in the Star Game in Annapolis.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
That's probably my best one.
I love it. All right. Last question is, if someone is unsure about whether or not they want to attend the academy, they're kind of thinking about it, what advice or kind of thoughts would you tell them to consider when deciding to either apply or not apply to the Naval Academy?
I would definitely consider the commitment after you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like very downplayed at the academy.
Yeah.
So just actually consider it and realize that you do have like your 5 to 7 years to serve afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't think that that's for you, then you're not only going to be miserable at the academy, but you're probably going to be miserable for a solid 10 years of your life.
Right.
And just consider, I don't know, like, not really consider, but keep in mind like your support system that mm-hmm. you have. And just like staying true to who you are. Don't let the academy or the commitment afterwards change you too much.
Absolutely. That is great advice. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sarita. I really appreciate you doing this. Kind of mentioned it in the intro here, but Sarita is literally just kind of in some port time here in Hawaii during her time as a surface warfare officer. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. Thank you, Sarita. And for everyone listening, take care, and I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to the podcast today with Sarita. Please leave me a review on iTunes and be sure to subscribe to the Academy Insider Podcast. If you want to know more about Plebe Summer, check out my video online course in which I go over in detail about how someone should prepare for Plebe Summer physically, mentally, emotionally, and logistically. You can find that and articles about Plebe Summer on my webpage, www.academyinsider.com. All the links that we discussed today in the show are listed in the show notes, including all of the books that Sarita recommended. I'm Grant Vermeer, your Academy Insider. Thank you so much for letting me be your guide to the Naval Academy.